Amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, you can go to Ephesians chapter 3. The Word's good, isn't it?
Amen.
It's an honor to preach the Word this morning, to be able to share it with you. I don't count it as a light thing. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 3. Father, we love you so much. We're just so grateful and so thankful for the Word of God, for all the help that you've given to us, Father, for all the times that you have instructed us through your Word that gave us our answer. We might not like hearing it at times, what you have to say, because it puts us in the spotlight to have to do something, but Father, it was a sign of mercy. You've shown us how to get out of financial trouble. You've shown us how to raise our children. You've shown us how to worship you. You've shown us how to live a peaceful life. You've shown us how to live free from worry. You've shown us how to be healed, how to have faith, how to defeat the enemy. Father, these are all things that just are such a display of your mercy. And we're so grateful for it. Father, we welcome the Word today. Father, we pray that your Word would be glorified among us, that your Word would be magnified, and that your Word would have free course. And Father, we pray and believe you this morning for utterance and for boldness. And Father, I thank you that as I open my mouth to minister, you do fill it with words from heaven. Father, I thank you every single person in here going through different situations, going through different seasons in their lives. Father, I thank you that you'll speak something through me that will be specific to their situation. And it'll be a vehicle for change. It'll be a vehicle to help them, Father. So Lord, we thank you for hitting bullseyes this morning. You will always get the praise and always get the glory. Father, we don't think we're here. We're not here because of the name on the building. We're not here because of the name of the pastor. We're here because Jesus is here. And we come to honor him and come to magnify and lift him up. So help us this morning to do what you want us to do. Help us to say what you want us to say. And Father, you'll always get the praise and glory. We know right now we're walking out of here different. We're walking out of here blessed and we're walking out of here changed. So we give you the praise beforehand. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, this morning's message will be just a little bit different. It'll be good and bless you. But I want to just lead off talking a little bit, mention about the parking lot. You know, the Lord is having me share some things on that today. And, you know, for those of you that don't know, if you're new with us or newer, in September we're planning on getting, hopefully sooner, but that's what they said, maybe a little sooner in September, to get the parking lot paved. And they told us it would be $31,500 to do so. And I knew it would be somewhere up around there, because I had checked a while back, but didn't have peace on going forward with it. And I felt led to go ahead and do that this year, that it was something that the Spirit of God wanted done. And so I'd like to obey God. That seems to be the best way to live life. And so I was wondering, well, how are we going to do this, you know? And I got the price tag on it. The price, $31,500, not, I'm not trying to sound like a faith giant, or it didn't move me in that sense, but what it did do is that I had wrong thinking and I had hesitated a little bit to bring it up to have an offering taken up for it, because, you know, just wrong thinking and thinking what people might think. And, you know, there's so many times as a pastor you have to deal with such wrong thinking, and you want to spare and help people and spare them from things that can hurt them. And I certainly don't want this to hurt them. So I talked to God about it. And the Spirit of God clearly said to me, he said, bring it before the people. And I knew why, kind of had hesitated anyway. So I knew that that's how he's going to do it, because I know what the Word says, and we'll show you some of those things today. But when the Spirit of God said bring it before the people, he told me three things. And there are three things we're going to look at today. He said, number one, it's going to give the church something to get behind, to get unified behind. And we'll talk about that. But also he said it will give the opportunity, or give people an opportunity to sow seed. And we'll talk about that as well. But last but not least, he said, you're going to see what kind of a God that I am. Hallelujah. And it's going to be a faith builder for people. So let's start here this morning with these 3 points. And we'll get down and then I'll tell you what came in and all that good stuff. But number one, I want to show you, because if God speaks to me, speaks to you, speaks to anybody, there's always going to be scripture to back up what he says. That's how, you know, we don't seek words and we don't look for ministers to give us prophecies and things like that. But those are biblical. But if they come, prophecies or words in your heart, you say, God spoke to me, it's always going to be backed up by the Bible. And that's how we're kept safe, was when we stick with the Bible. That's how cults get formed. That's how weird things get formed. That's how people blindly walk off the cliff, you know, following somebody. They don't ever check to see if it's biblical. Well, we're going to be biblical around here. Amen. So number one, I want to show you what the Lord said to me. He said it'll give something for the church to get behind. Go to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Now, before we go forward, unless you handed me your offering or told me what you were going to give, I don't know who did and who didn't and who did what and who didn't do anything. But I want to show you here in the Bible the principle, because the Lord said it'll give something for the church to get behind. And it's important for us to know this. We're going to get our minds expanded here today to believe for other things, because if you're going to be a part of this church, just so you know, years ago, the Lord put things on my heart that I said, how in the world, in my mind I said this, are we going to be able to do this? Because I knew the finances that would come with it. I knew that people would have to get involved. And so it's important to see that when God does something on the earth, He expects His people to carry that out. Amen? He's not coming off the throne. Jesus is not coming off the throne. We are the hands and feet of the body of Christ. So 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 1, this is David talking about the building of Solomon's temple, which was the house of the Lord. Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation. So David's talking to the people. Who? The people of God. He says, Solomon my son, whom God alone has chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great. For the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. That parking lot is not for man, but for the Lord God. The church property is the Lord's, amen? And it ought to have the best that there is. Verse 2 says, now I, David talking, have prepared with all my might for the house of my God, the gold for things to be made of gold, the silver for things of silver, and brass for things of brass, the iron for things of iron, the wood for things of wood, onyx stone, stone to be set, glistering stones of divers colors, and all manner of precious stones, marble stones in abundance. Sounds a little better than drywall. Amen. Amen. They went all out. And I told you that in today's finances, what cost to build the temple, if you were to translate it today, it's billions and billions of dollars. But you know what? They didn't care because they thought the house of God should be nice. And if you don't think the house of God should be nice, then you have a problem in your own head. Amen? God's house should be nice. He says in verse 3, moreover, now look at this. He says, moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God. He says, I have a fondness or an affection towards the house of God. We ought to have a fondness and affection towards the house of God. This is where we come to learn about Him. This is where we come to hear about Him, to hear from Him for our lives. We ought to have an affection towards the house of God. He said, because of that, well, doesn't the Bible say God so loved that He gave? The Bible says God demonstrates love by giving. Well, the same way goes for you. You know, we don't just always tell the people we love that you just love them. You show them your love by a demonstration of gifts, of different things you can do for them, affectionate things and service to them. It says, because I've set my affection to the house of my God, I have of my own proper good, of gold and silver, and I say, and for my own stuff, I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, 3,000 talents of gold, the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the houses withal, the gold for the things of gold, the silver for the things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of the artificers. Who then? He's talking to the congregation, remember, about a project that needs to be done. Remember the Lord said to me, bring it before the people. It'll give the people something to get behind. He said, who then to the congregation is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord. So what's David doing? He's bringing the project that needs to be done, that God led him to do, before the people for what? For the people to carry out the doing of it. For the people to sacrifice. For the people to serve and to do it. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Whenever God wants to do something on the earth, in his kingdom, in the house of God included, in your local church, you do realize the local church is one of the most important things in your life. It just is. And God is going to have the people do things. God is going to have the people. That's why we do a building fund. Because how are we going to pay this off? Well, God's not raining down dollar bills from heaven. He's going to expect his people to get involved, to sacrifice for the house of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Let's see where I want to start here. I'll start here at verse 6. This is Paul talking to the Corinthian church, and he's letting them know he's talking about providing for the ministry, providing for the plan of God. And he's talking about how the Macedonia church, the church over there in Philippians, the church at Philippi, that was one of the Macedonian churches. He's talking about the offering that they gave. And he's telling them, encouraging them, hey, they really gave. They really did a good job. Now he's bringing it before the whole Corinthian church and saying, hey, now it's your turn to get involved. Amen? Hallelujah. So let's go forward here in verse 6. Insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace. Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in diligence and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. What's he talking about? The grace that the Macedonians had on them, which was a grace of giving, which was a grace of everybody getting together and providing for the work of God. And then he goes on to say in verse 8, I don't speak by commandment, by the occasion of the forwardness of others. He said, I'm speaking by the proof of what they did, and I want to prove the sincerity of your love for what we're doing. Do you see that there? People get mad. Why you talk about money? Because money's your heart. And if your heart was with God, you would not be mad when I talk about money. It's just the truth. Amen? Money is used to test sincerity, the Bible says. Money is used as honor, the Bible says. Honor the Lord with your substance. The Bible says that where your treasure is, your heart is. So money is a sign of your heart. Money is a sign of your sincerity. And money is a sign of what kind of honor you have towards God. Amen? And he says it here. I want to prove it. And then down here in verse 10, it says, and herein I give my advice to the whole church. For this is expedient or advantageous for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Basically, he's saying now in verse 11, he says, now therefore perform the doing of it. You had a willingness to do it before, now do it. Put your money where your mouth is. Praise God. That's what he's saying. Perform the doing of it so that there is a readiness to will, so there may be a performance out of also which you have. So he's telling the church, okay, the Macedonians did it. We're doing this. We're going forward with the plan of God. Now it's your turn, church. Now go down to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7. It's still talking to the church about the same thing. But what does he say? He says, every man, that's ladies included, he's talking about everybody in the church, every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. What's he saying here? He's saying the same thing David was saying. That there's a plan and a purpose that God has, but that God's going to expect the doing of it or the carrying out of it to be done by the people. And Paul doesn't say, hey, let's let a third of the church do it. Let's let a half of the church do it. Let's let three quarters of the church do it. No. He says, if you're a part of this body and a part of this house of God, and there's a project that God brings up, every single person ought to get involved. Amen. That's what he said. He didn't say everyone that's doing good financially. He didn't say everybody that's got all their bills. No. He's saying every man get involved is what he's saying. Now, before you get angry with me and start thinking in your head, yeah, preacher, but you don't know what I'm going through. Let me finish my sermon. Yeah. Amen? Amen? Yeah. That's good. You don't know what I'm going through. You're asking to help pay for a parking lot? Well, I'm sure there were people in the Corinthian church that were struggling. I'm sure there were people that were going through seasons in life where money wasn't abundantly available. But notice Paul didn't leave them out. Why? He knew the way out of their poverty was this thing. Amen. And I'll get to that in point two. But anyways, my point is that Paul's saying every man, everybody get involved in this. And again, I don't know who did or who didn't. But I need to preach this principle to back up the fact that that's what God spoke to me. And going forward to know, listen, don't be somebody in a church that says, well, I'll let others take care of that. I'll let others do that. We see that in serving. It seems like 90% of the people, or 10% of the people, are doing 90% of the work. And that's not the way it should be. And people think, well, I'll let someone else do the nursery. I'll let somebody else usher. I'll let somebody else clean. And I'll just do nothing. That's backwards. We are a body. We all should be doing. I'll let somebody else give to that offering. I'll tell you what. The one thing about the disciples and the early church in the book of Acts, they had all things in common. They said that not even what we own is our own. We'll use it all for the kingdom. Whoever needs it, whatever the kingdom needs, we're all in. And they had power. Why don't we have power? Because people, I'm not doing nursery. Don't ask me to do nursery. Oh no, I'm not filling in. Jesus died on the cross for you. Amen. He went to the cross and did something for you that he didn't want to, that didn't feel good, that wasn't convenient. Why don't we have power? Because we get so selfish, so doing our own thing. Nope, I'm not going to do that. Other people will clean. Other people will give into that. Other people can do that. No, we're a body, ladies and gentlemen. God looks at the whole church to get involved with things. And again, I'm not preaching this from the point of that I went thumbing through that. Nope, this family didn't do. I don't have a clue unless you told me or unless you handed me your offering. I don't know who did and who didn't and who did what and who didn't do anything. But the Bible says every man ought to get involved in the work of God. Every man ought to be part of the body of Christ. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. That was the first thing the Lord said to me. Bring it before the church. It'll get the people an opportunity to get behind something. Now, here's the thing. If you didn't get involved, you still can get involved. And there's things in the future that you can get involved in. But now you've seen the word. That when God calls people to do something, everybody ought to play their part in the house of God. Amen? Now, for point two, that will help you get you off my back from the first point. The second thing, and I say that sarcastically, I believe we have great people who love the word. I'm just trying to add some humor and some lighten this thing up. But the second thing the Lord said to me about this parking lot offering is he said, it'll give the people an opportunity to sow so they'll grow.
Wow, that's good.
An opportunity to sow. Now, I was praying about that, and I even see that in my own life. It seems that sometimes we can get into a rut with our tithing and with our giving, that it just becomes second nature, just do what we've always done. Well, when we do what we've always done, we're going to always get what we've always got. But when you bring something special before the church, and it's this way for me, I'm telling on myself, it seems that's when people will go above and beyond normally what they do. Well, the thing is, when you go above and beyond and do something uncommon, your harvest then becomes uncommon. Amen? And so God is saying, bring it before the people, because in my mind, I'm thinking, let's just not do this. Let's figure out a different way to do this. Maybe take a loan out or do something. And Lord said, no, bring it before the people. It's an opportunity for them. So God gave people an opportunity, and what did I do? I didn't come to you and say, hey, if every family would do this, we'll hit the mark. If everybody would just sow this, we'd hit the mark. No, what did I say? Everybody, you bring it before God. You ask God, what should I do for this offering? You bring it before God. Now, if you bring it before God and you tell me that he told you not to do anything, that's in direct violation of his word. Now, maybe you didn't bring it before God, but if you would have brought it before God, he'd have told you what to do. Amen. He'd have put something on your heart to lead to, you'd have had some kind of peace on a number, and that would have been a doorway into more. Say, what do you mean, Pastor Mike? Well, go to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, an opportunity. So I'm preaching this to let you know that giving and special projects, those are not things that we get down on and say, oh gosh, pastor's coming before me because we need money for this. Oh, no, that's your opportunity for more.
Amen.
a farmer does not despise the fields in which he has to sow into. He knows the fields are what's going to yield the increase. So when God gives us opportunities, he's trying to get us into more. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7 says this. Where's Galatians at? There it is. Be not deceived. He says, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that's what he will reap. Now remember over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 we just looked at, or 2 Corinthians 9, where Paul said, every man according as he purposes in his heart, let him give. Before that, he reminded the church. He said, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly will reap sparingly. He which soweth bountifully it will reap bountifully. And he says in this verse, don't be deceived. Don't go around and mocking God in your finances. Don't be somebody that's kind of like that farmer that goes out into the 100 acres of field that he has. And he's got all of this corn seed to plant for the whole 100 acres. But he decides, you know what? I'm just going to plant 10 acres over in this little corner. And then harvest time comes around and he walks out and he sees the 10 acres just lush and full of corn and the rest of the field's just full of hay and grass, whatever it is. Or it's plowed or whatever. But there's no corn there. That farmer would be ridiculous to walk out into that field and say, where's my other 90 acres of corn? What's going on? This sowing and reaping business, it doesn't work. This planting and harvesting, it's just a bunch of hogwash. It doesn't work. That farmer would be mocking sowing and reaping. A farmer knows darn well you reap as you plant. What, right? Amen. But the farmer also knows this. For 100 acres of corn, you have a certain amount of corn seed, don't you? What's yielded after the 100 acres comes up is way more than what you had to begin with to plant. We know that Luke 6:38 says, given it will be given back to you, good measure, pressed down, shake it together, and running over. Our giving comes back the same way the corn comes back, multiplied. You don't just get enough corn back for the seed for another 100 acres. You get, just tons and tons of it. Praise God. The Phillips translation of this verse says, whatsoever a man sows in life, well, I should say it this way, the correct literal of the Phillips translation says, man's harvest in life depends entirely upon the seed that he sows. So, God's saying to you, your harvest financially is not up to him. Your harvest financially is not up to the pastor. It's not up to the economy. It's up to what you do with your planting. Amen? Amen? And so God says, I'm giving the church an opportunity. Everybody's to get involved. Everybody is to help the work. And he says, now I want you to sow for an opportunity. And now we see the word that sowing leads to harvest. So people, number one, that sowed into this, that sacrificed and gave, expect a harvest. Fully expect a harvest. Just like the farmer that plants the corn seed, he walks out into the field and he expects a harvest. And that's okay because the Bible says that. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. But if you're somebody that has the mentality and the idea, I'm not doing it. And when I tell you the amount, I'm not trying to get more money. You'll see. Amen? You'll see. Praise God. But what I'm saying is, if you're somebody that's going to balk at that when pastor says stuff, and God brings that, say, that's not for me. We're struggling. We're doing this. We're doing that. You know you have a thing called faith. You know how many times I've believed God for seed money? Not just for money, for seed money. Because I know that at times, the money I have is not good enough. I need a harvest. So I'll believe God for a certain amount of money. It'll miraculously come in. God will give seed to the sower. If you'll say, Lord, I need seed money, he'll give you seed if you're going to sow it. And then you sow it, and then it multiplies. That's how you start getting all these years, I think, how we've just kept increasing. How we do it? Seed time and harvest. Just kept being generous. That's why the people that are real generous around here, I just keep telling them, get ready. Just keep getting ready for more blessing. You're just setting yourself up for more blessing. And it just keeps never-ending cycle. And people sit on the sidelines, don't get involved with the Word of God, and you're mocking God to say, this doesn't work. What have you sown? How much seed you got in the ground? Get some seed in the ground, people. That's how we increase. Hallelujah. Praise God. So the Lord said this is an opportunity for people to grow. And then last but not least, he said to me, he said, people are going to see what kind of a God I am. Because I could tell what some people had said to me and just different reactions from people. I won't go into it. I'm not trying to bash anybody or hurt anybody. But when they heard $31,500 and they see the size of our church, people were being talked to. Devil was saying some things. I mean, come on. Devil was talking to me as well. Hallelujah. I just gotten better at learning not to listen to him. You know the devil will talk, but it doesn't mean you have to listen to him. He'll yap, yap, yap. Doesn't mean you have to listen to him and obey him or believe what he's saying. Remember, he's the father of lies. Amen? And just because he says it more than once doesn't make it more true. That's what he tries to do. He gets people by repeated saying. He'll just say it over and 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 over. That doesn't make it more true.
That's right. Good word.
Yeah. I'd sit here all day till the service is over and tell Jeff his hair turned green while I was preaching. Jeff, your hair's turned green. He ain't going to believe that. Just because I say it more than once doesn't matter. His hair didn't turn green. The devil tells you stuff. Don't believe it.
Right.
Amen. Hallelujah. He said, I'm going to see what kind of God he is. Well, let's find out what kind of a God he is. Go to Ephesians 3 and verse 20. Ephesians 3 and verse 20. Now this is the main part of what I want you to get today. Not only for your personal lives, but for the kingdom going forward. It says, now unto him. Who's he talking about? God. That is able. So God has the ability, that means this is who he is, to do exceeding abundantly above. Everybody say above.
Above.
Not just above, but exceeding abundantly above. Now notice this. All that we ever ask or think according to the power that works in us. So God is an Ephesians 3:20 God. That means he's able to do exceeding and abundant. He wants to tell you what he's measuring by here. Not just a pinch, not just a little bit. Exceeding abundantly above what we could ask or think. Amen?
Amen.
So we brought it before the Lord. Father, we need $31,500. I brought it before him. And he said to me, bring it before the people. Well, God's not going to tell me to do something so we come up short. God's not going to tell me to do something and prove how I am. Amen. You'll remember the first night I announced it, I said every single penny is going to come in and more. And that was before anybody had committed anything when I had announced it. And on the way to church that night, before I even announced it, I told the parking lot people, sign us up. We'll do the job. Because I already had a word from heaven. I don't need to see the money. And that Wednesday night on the way to church, I had already called them and said, schedule us in. Well, then we announce it, and I say, all the money's going to come, every last penny, and thousands of dollars above expenses. Because that's what we're believing for, isn't it?
Amen.
Well, he's the God that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. So we're asking for $31,500. I don't know where your mind went to. I don't know what your faith was on. I don't know what level you had God meeting, but he went above and beyond $31,500. And in fact, as of right now, what came in for the parking lot is $59,000. Woo, praise the Lord. $59,894. Yeah. Praise God. And I know in my heart, not everybody gave. I know in my spirit. So if you want to get involved in this, you better get involved. This is going to be blessed for people. Not that we need the money. We could do two parking lots now. Praise God. Hallelujah. $59,894 came in for that building fund or that parking lot fund. Praise God. Now let's think about this thing here because we need to have a right mindset. We need to have a right mindset, number one, that God is the God of abundance and God wants the church to live out of the flow of abundance, but that God also wants you to live out of the flow of abundance. Because a lot of times we've talked about this with ministers and different churches and we think, man, imagine if a church was building a $1 billion building today. All people would criticize, right? They criticize ministers and we think, well, we want them to have less, but that's not God's flow. That's not God's will. That's not God's word. He says, I am able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. So first of all, before I go on, for those of you that sowed, For those of you, I mean, I'm just so impressed by this church. Just so impressed, because I know to get that number, people had to dig and sow and to be sacrificial. And I'm glad that you did it, because what's coming your way? Woo! What's coming your way? God is not a liar. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he will reap it. So don't you be sad that you gave into that, because now I know what the thought of some people are thinking. Man, I wish I'd have cut mine in half now. No. If the Spirit told you to do it, it's for a reason. That's why we didn't try to manipulate anybody. We said, you just bring it before God. It'll work. You just bring it before God. Whatever he told you, you did it. And so now expect your blessing. Okay, Father. Because I know I dug and I know I sacrificially gave. And I'm saying to the Lord, okay, Father, I did what you said to do. They could have done it without my offering, but you told me to do it. And I did it, praise God. And so now I'm expecting the harvest. Amen. And that's what you need to do. You need to expect a harvest. But you need to understand that abundance is the flow and nature of God. Even so much so that even in the next time we have a project, be Spirit-led in what you give. Don't sit around and think, okay, well, last time they were this much over. No. Just bring it before God. What I'm trying to get people to do is obey heaven. Because I know if you will, the church will be blessed, but so will you. Amen? And so next time, whenever that comes up, if something comes up and the Lord says, bring it before the people, you know, there's things that when you save money, we can just take care of. But there's times God says, hey, this is an opportunity. Let's do it. Praise God. So the next time, it'll be the same thing. Talk to God about it. God tells you to give little, give little. God tells you to give a lot, give a lot. Praise God. But whatever he tells you, he's trying to lead you into more. Amen? But you need to have right thinking, because now I know people think 59,000, 894 minus 31,500, that leaves abundance. Praise God that leaves abundance. It's okay for a church to not be strapped financially. It's okay for a church to not struggle and struggle and scrape and claw. Amen? That's okay. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Not only because the Lord has already put, I already have other things on my heart that we can carry out financially, that this extra money will be able to help us with, and praise God. It's so much of a relief to be able to use your faith for other things that when every little project comes in, I don't have to put my faith on every little thing. Oh, we have money because we had faith before. Let's pay for that. Praise God. Amen. And so there's projects that'll be done, praise the Lord, and we'll be able to put money away and save for whatever we need to do and pay debt off and things like that. Hallelujah. So we need to have a right mindset concerning abundance. Hallelujah. Now this is what I want you to think about concerning abundance. Are we still in Ephesians 3 and verse 20? We need to think in terms of abundance and the flow of God and expand our minds and renew our minds to God's flow if you think about it from a kingdom mindset. Because what we've already seen is that God is always going to call the people to do the work. But if the people don't have anything, how can the work get done? Do you realize there was not one sinner that walked in and gave me an offering for that parking lot? Not one person from the world gave it to us. Why? That's not how it's done. Do you know that God never rained any money down from heaven? Nothing floated through the sky, and I was able to gather up in a bag and use for that parking lot. God always is going to require the people to pay for it. But how can the people pay for it if the people are struggling themselves? But I believe if we get into this mindset of who God is in abundance, we'll go from just scraping by. And we'll get, see, prosperity message has been criticized. I don't know if any of you read my Facebook posts on Monday, but I encourage you to do so. It's just a little faith jolt for you. But last week, I mentioned how one time a person came into the church and they said, are you one of those health and wealth preachers? And it caught me off guard because they didn't say hello to me or anything. I'd never seen the person in my life. Haven't seen him since. Are you one of those health and wealth preachers? Caught me off guard. I said, yes, sir, I am. Didn't say anything else. Turned around and walked out the door. And I wrote in that post, he must have been hoping I would have said, no, I'm one of those poverty and sickness preachers. Say that out loud. God wants us to be in poverty and sickness. It doesn't even sit right with your heart. Of course he wouldn't. He's your dad. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. But I see where the prosperity message has gotten criticized because people have taken it into the ditch. And they've used it for self-gain. And they've used it, and there's been ministers and ministries that have done wrong things with money, and they've preached the prosperity gospel, not from the purpose of kingdom-minded, but self-promotion-minded. And it's gotten off. But I'm telling you, my heart for this church is that we need to be walking in abundance so we can abundantly bless all that God calls us to do. Amen. Amen? And if you're able to abundantly bless all that God's calling you to do, that means you have some for yourself. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Praise God. So, Ephesians 3:20, talking about abundance here, it says, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. We need to know that God is a God of abundance. And here's why it's important that you think right. Because look at what he says in this verse. He says, I'm able to do exceeding and abundantly, that's the measuring stick, above all that you as Christians will ask or think. So all God's got to jump over is your thinking and your asking. Well, if your mindset's a poverty mindset and a lack mindset, what you're thinking and asking for is going to be so low. And God only has to go above the bar that you set. Come on. That's what the Word says. So what did we do? I was convinced 100% $31,500 would come in, and on top of that, thousands of dollars would come in above that. I was sold out. I'm going to just tell on myself right now. 59,000 and some change surprised my head. He did Ephesians 3:20 for me. I asked for the 31,500 and he went exceeding and abundantly. Maybe I should have got my faith to believe for 100,000 and then he could have jumped over that bar. Maybe I should have put my faith on 50,000 coming in and then he could have jumped over that bar. But anyways, he showed us Ephesians 3:20 is real. Amen. Amen. But my point is for your own life, again, why do we want to be a blessing? Or why do we want to be blessed? Because we want to be a blessing. You need to expand your mind, and that's what this last point is going to be about. It won't take long. That God is the God of abundance. Because we need people walking in abundance. We need people walking in extra so they can be a blessing to the kingdom of God. And remember this, the Bible says in Mark 9:23, he says, all things are possible according to your faith. What's he saying? I'll do whatever's needed, but you set the bar. Remember, he went to the blind man and said, what do you need? Well, he knew what he needed, but Jesus needed to know, what's this guy going to set? What's the bar going to be? Is it going to be a bar I can go over and bless him? And the guy said, I want my sight. Jesus said, okay, praise the Lord, that's your faith. Well, if your faith is just skimping by and just make it, I'll just be glad to just make it, and I'll touch on that in a second. That's all you're giving God to work with? That's not abundance. Well, let's look at some things. Go to Genesis 17 and verse 1. Amen. Genesis 17 and verse 1. Hallelujah. Genesis 17. I'll tell you, when you follow the Holy Ghost, it always leads to increase. Because my head was, and that night I announced that, my head was playing tricks on me, my flesh was playing tricks on me. And Abram, when he was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said unto him, I am. Now God is demonstrating or revealing who he is. He says, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. He's saying, I am the Almighty God, but he said that in Hebrew. Hebrew, in Hebrew language. And so in Hebrew, that means I am the El Shaddai. Now that word El Shaddai means the Almighty One, but it's also translated, and we can see by what God does in His Word, we can see that that means the God, the All-Sufficient One, or the God who is more than enough. Amen? God is more than enough. Now go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. Why do we need to get in the flow of the God that's more than enough, or the Almighty One, or the All-Sufficient One? 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. And God is able. Why? Because He's El Shaddai. He's not the God that is just enough. He's the God that's more than enough. How is He able? He's able through your faith. If you'll get your faith on the El Shaddai God, If you'll get your faith on the all-sufficient God, the more-than-enough God, that's what you'll receive from Him. Amen? Jesus had healing power to heal that blind man. But if the blind man would not have set forth a tunnel or a pipeline of faith, that power would have never flowed through it. So you need to get in your heart that He's all-sufficient. Well, He says, I'm able. Why am I able? Because I'm El Shaddai. To make all grace abound towards you. What's that mean? You having sufficiency in all things. You know what that means? God is enough. That means you have enough for yourself, but that you may abound to every good work. Why is He God that's more than enough? Because the God that's just enough will meet your needs, but the God that's more than enough will meet everybody's needs. We'll meet the church's needs. We'll meet people in the body of Christ that are struggling needs. People that we need to reach out to. If He just gives you, and if He's just the God that's just enough to meet your needs, how's His stuff ever going to get taken care of? Because He expects you, by the Word of God, to take care of your family. He does. He doesn't expect you to be like a bad parent or a deadbeat that doesn't take care of their own family. He expects people to take care of their family, but He also expects you to take care of the house of God. Well, how's He going to do that? Through having faith in Him that He's the El Shaddai. He's more than enough. Well, why is He more than enough? Because we need more than enough to do what God's doing. Amen. What a sad existence to live for just ourselves. Amen. Our little corner of the world, just doing our own thing. Oh, I'd just be so happy. I'd just be so happy if God would just pay my needs. You know, I remember when I went to Rhema, how my view has changed from God from then until now. When I went to Rhema, you know, I hadn't built my faith up as much as I've spent doing now in recent years. I was just so happy if my bills would get paid. I mean, just thrilled if I could pay my tuition and put gas in my vehicle and pay my insurance and put food in the car. I mean, just thrilled to get my needs met. But I'll tell you what, I wasn't being a very big blessing to the body of Christ that way. Well, that was my view of God. Just me, 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 me. But He's the God that's more than enough. He wants us to abound to every good work. So I spent time meditating on in the Word, finding out who God is, seeing things in the Word, getting my faith built up. And so then I start the church at God's leading, and I'm $2,000 short every month. Well, most people, I know because people talk to me, they freak out over $200, $300 short a month. Try being $2,000 short. Every time the calendar flipped, you were now $2,000 short of what was coming in. Amen. It was true. And it went on that way for 8 months. And after 8 months, if the church made any bit of money, there were times I got maybe a $50 check. Or I got maybe $120 left over after all the bills. Never in 2 years was I ever any less than $1,000 short a month. And then at the end of 2 years, I was finally able to get a salary. But not before then, and I just live by. No one will ever be able to accuse me of getting into the ministry for money. Nope. Nope. I left money to start this thing. Amen? Hallelujah. And it was well worth it. Praise God. But my point is that in that time, my view of God had grown. To the point where I wasn't crumbled by $2,000 and crushed by that a month. But I didn't just say, Lord, I need $2,000. I said, Father, I thank You. I'm supernaturally debts paid off. And in that 2 years' time, paid off $60,000 worth of debt, sowed big into the Jamestown Building Fund, never stopped tithing, never stopped giving, and never missed a payment. Praise God. But what changed? God didn't change from my time in Rhema. God could have exceedingly abundantly met all my needs above my rent, my tuition, my food back then, but my faith wasn't there. We need to expand our faith. Why? Back in Rhema, I was just worried about me. Now, I know I'm getting taken care of, and I'm worried about, let's get all this done in the body of Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. So I want to show you real quick before we close some examples of God being the God that's more than enough. 2 Kings 4 and verse 1. 2 Kings 4 and verse 1. We're going to go through this real quick here. I just want to build your faith on this. We could look at a lot of places, but we're just going to look at a few here. Why? You need to know He's the God that's more than enough. Amen. Put your faith on that. Amen. 2 Kings 4 and verse 1 says, Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, My servant, your servant, my husband is dead. And you know that your servant did fear the Lord, and the creditors come and take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. So just kind of let you know what's going on here. This man, this woman's husband served Elisha. He's passed away. He's no longer able to make an income. He's got debts. So they're coming to take his sons, her sons, to pay off the debt. So this mom's in desperation. Verse 2, Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you?" Now this is what I love. The mouthpiece of God, the prophet of God, says, "What shall I do for you?" What does she need in her life? She needs increase, doesn't she? Notice he doesn't say, "Oh God, oh God, you got to do something." I love his next statement. "What do you have in your house?" He's saying to her, your increase is going to come from something you have in what you do. Do you see it there? The first thing the prophet says to get her into more is, what do you have? See, God put a doorway of opportunity and blessing for people to sow into this, to walk into. And people say, "Well, I don't have anything. That's garbage." Everybody, if you want it bad enough. Because people say, "I don't have any money," yet they go do fun things and spend money on it. Don't tell me we can't do something for God. I'm not saying everybody's in a place of abundance and increase and tons of leftover money, but if you want it bad enough, you can sell something on eBay for the house of God. You want it bad enough, you can work an extra hour or two for the house of God. You want it bad enough, you can put a yard sale out there and sell some of those things. I'm just saying, if you want it bad enough, you want to put seed in the ground bad enough, you can get seed. That's the truth. Amen. It's the truth. Glory to God. You can forego your coffee for a day, two, a week. Come on. Oh, man, we're really just getting on to people here. Praise God. It's just true. What people love, they'll give to. And he says, "What do you have?" Well, she says, "Your handmaid doesn't have anything. That's why I'm struggling. Except a pot of oil." Let me tell you something. Don't you say, "Well, all I had was $5 to give." Give it. Put it in the ground and it'll multiply. And then when it multiplies, give more and it'll multiply. And it keeps going and going and going. Yeah. Amen. "All I have, Pastor, is an extra $10 to give to that." So give it. Sow it. Get the process going, people. Yeah. Amen. He says, "All I got is a pot of oil." He said, "Go borrow vessels abroad of all your neighbors. Even empty vessels, borrow not a few. When you've come in, you shall shut the door upon you and your sons. You shall pour into all those vessels. You shall set aside that which is full." So she went and did the word of the Lord. Well, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9, chapter 9 and verse 7, every man give. Herein have you robbed God in tithes and offerings. God's telling you, he's giving you a doorway. What's on the other side? Blessing. Blessing. That's why I said last week, I'm trying to kick people into the pool. Just push you right in, trying to get you to step out. Because I know what's on the other side. Amen. Hallelujah. So she went from him, shut the door upon her and her sons, brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. Verse 6, it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, "Bring me a vessel." He said to her, "There's no more left." And the oil stopped or stayed. Verse 7, then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debt." That's the God that's enough. What was she requesting? Just have my debt paid. Isn't that all she asked for? My debt needs to be paid. They're coming for my sons. Well, the God that's enough paid her debt, but he's not the God that's enough. He's the God that's more than enough. What did he say to her? "Go sell the oil, pay the debt, and live, you and your children, live. This will be your living now, off the rest." God showed up. He said, "I'm El Shaddai in this situation, honey. Don't you worry about a thing." Praise God. But what'd she do? She stepped out. She stepped through the door of obedience. Some people are so gripped with fear. You ought to listen to Wednesday's message. We talked about how fear is an enemy, and it must be resisted. Amen? For those of you that were here, that was good, wasn't it? The word was good. Not the preaching, but the word was good and what we learned. Matthew 14 and verse 15. We're almost done. Matthew 14 and verse 15. Praise God. And I think this is important for me to say, because there's been, at times, money's been handled wrong and things in ministries. Every penny that gets spent from this place doesn't just come through my eyes. I have a board that looks and checks and have to run things by, just so you know. We're not just running some rogue operation here. Amen? Hallelujah. It's important that people know there's checks and balances in the church, because nobody is above falling into sin. Nobody is above. And so I'm thankful that's the way it is. And so just so you know, every bit of money, every penny is always accounted for. Hallelujah. Matthew 14 and verse 15, it says, "And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, 'This is a desert place, and the time is now past.'" Actually, if you want to know the truth, to be legally incorporated, you have to have that anyway. So I'm not just, you know, blowing smoke at you. "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." But Jesus said unto them, "They don't need to depart. You give them something to eat." And they said unto him, "Lord," here it is again, "we only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. There it is again. Parking lot, I don't have very much to give, but you have something. If you'll give God something to work with, he'll work it. Amen? Amen. Praise God. He'll work it, praise the Lord. It says, Jesus didn't say, "Oh, that's not going to work." He said, "Bring them to me." Verse 19, he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And looking up to heaven, what was he looking at? He was looking with lack. Now, his attitude and his heart wasn't in lack, but what he had was lack for the situation. And he was looking towards El Shaddai. "Father, we need you to be El Shaddai in this situation. We need you to be more than enough." So he looked up to heaven. Praise God. That's the right way to look, isn't it? Amen. Amen. He blessed and broke it, gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled. Not just get a snack. They walked away stuffed. It says, and they took up, now notice this, and, everybody say and. And they took up the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. Why? Because he's not the God that's enough. He's the God that's more than enough. Praise God. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. That's the God that's watching over you. That's the God that's trying to get you to come up higher, to bring you into a life of abundance, a flow of abundance, and not scraping by. Matthew 17, 27. Notwithstanding, this is Jesus talking to Peter, because they came and they asked Peter, "Does your Lord pay taxes? Does Jesus pay taxes?" So Peter was asking him. And then Jesus said, "Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them." He said, "We're going to pay it. Go to the sea and cast a hook." So they're asking about Jesus' taxes. "And take up the fish that first comes up. And when you have opened his mouth, you shall find a piece of money. Take that and give that unto them." So whatever money was going to come out of that fish was going to be sufficient to pay Jesus' taxes. Ladies and gentlemen, can I help you for a second? My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. Stop putting faith in your paycheck. Stop putting faith in your pension. Stop putting faith in your retirement. Stop putting faith in what you have in the bank. God is not limited by your paycheck. God is not limited by what you have in the bank. God is not limited by your pension. God's not limited by Social Security coming in every month. He's only limited by those things if that's where your faith is at. Then that's all that God has to work with. That's the bar you set. If he can pay his stinking taxes by going fishing, I think he can find a way to get you what you need apart from your paycheck, apart from your bank account, apart from your Social Security, apart from your pension. You just don't have a big enough view of who he is. He's the God that's more than enough. So if he's just enough, he pays for himself. But remember, we're not dealing with the God that's enough. He said, not only pay for me, but Peter, pay your taxes too. Woo, glory. The God that's more than enough. John 10 and verse 10, and we'll close here. Praise God. When my pastor told me, "You're not going to have a salary," he was saying to me, "The only thing you're going to have to rely on and better get your faith in is the El Shaddai." Because I had nothing to cling to. I didn't have a salary to cling to. The money that we had was short, $2,000 every month. John chapter 10 and verse 10. The thief doesn't come but for to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, "I have come that they might have life." That word life is the word zoe in the Greek. That means the abundant life, the God kind of life. Life as God enjoys it. Or like we like to say around here, heaven on earth. Remember over there in Deuteronomy, he said to them, he said, "You'll have days of heaven on earth." That's biblical. Remember, Jesus said, "Your will be done as on earth as it is in heaven." That's biblical to live days of heaven on earth. Well, why would God want to just enjoy the pleasures of heaven while his children are down here struggling? Doesn't mean we won't face tests and trials, but the flow of God is heaven on earth. He said, I've come to give you Zoe, or the life of God, or life as God enjoys it, but not just in a measure, not just in a little bit. I've come to give you life and life abundantly. Why? Because he's the El Shaddai. He's not just a God that's enough. He's a God that's more than enough. Amen. What this offering ought to do for people is show that God is real, that God is powerful. And now, those of you that sowed, get ready. Oh, get ready. I'm just telling people, not to try to manipulate you. I'm going by what the Bible says, that these are opportunities. You want to get involved in this. Praise God. Because I'm telling you, there will be testimonies that come from this. And there will be people that didn't get involved. You won't have a testimony. But the people that got involved, they will have testimonies. And they will come to me. I had a lady last night in Olean. You can close your Bibles. That'll buy me a couple minutes. I'll get you excited, you know. I had a lady in Olean. She had sown a seed. And I knew about it. And it was sacrificial. And I said, you come and tell me when this harvest comes. She says, oh, I know. She says, I already did this one time, and it worked. And she said, she came up to me last night. She goes, Pastor, it came back three times. This was about a month ago she sowed the seed. It came back three times the amount of what I sowed. We were rejoicing. She was crying. It was awesome. Yeah. So I'm telling you, I want to hear those testimonies. When the blessings start pouring in, and the favor, and the financial wisdom, and different things start coming in, and the promotions, and different opportunities. I want to hear about them. Because God is faithful. Amen? He's the God that's more than enough, ladies and gentlemen. Start meditating. If you're struggling with a poverty mindset, and you're struggling with that offering tripped you up and you didn't give anything, you need to meditate that that's who your God is. The flow that he wants for you is abundance, ladies and gentlemen. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we love you this morning. Thank you for that great, great offering that not only gets to pay that parking lot off debt-free, but Father, leaves more for projects to be done, to help us to save money, to do different things. Father, what a blessing. And Lord, I lift up every single person here that did something, Lord. Those that sacrificed. Those that actually took my word seriously. Brought it before you and obeyed your leading. Father, I thank you for increase for them. I thank you for divine ideas, for promotions, for wisdom financially. Father, I thank you for unexpected blessings coming their way. Father, you're not a liar. You're not a man that should lie. So we thank you. It will come to pass in their lives. Father, we thank you for increase. And Lord, going forward, as we continue to tithe, as we continue to give offerings, as we continue to be generous and do what you've said to do in our hearts, I thank you abundance is our flow. And Father, we're going to stop looking at you as just the God that's just enough. You are the God that's more than enough. And we declare by faith here this morning that abundance is our new flow. And it's not our new flow so we can be selfish, so we can gain for ourselves. Abundance is our flow because we're blessed to be a blessing. So, Father, we thank you. We'll always have enough to give into every good work. And, Father, even as I'm speaking right now, I know different people, they could say, well, I don't have this, I don't have that. But one thing I know is that every single human being in this room right now is so blessed. Every single human being in this room right now has a warm home to go to, has food in their cupboards, has a vehicle to take them there, has clothes on their body, has fresh water to be able to drink. Father, I thank you so much. We need to be thankful. Let's thank him right now. We get so caught up in the what do the Joneses have? What do the neighbors got? And I don't have that. Blah, blah, blah. Griping and moaning and groaning. Why don't we be thankful for what we do have? Why don't we realize we came into this world naked with nothing? And we have things. We're blessed, praise God. We're blessed. We have children who are healthy and serving God. We have jobs and we have homes and vehicles and clothes and food and water. Praise God, we have our minds. Hallelujah. 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 We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We praise you. Now with heads bowed and eyes closed, you ought to be grateful to him every day about stuff. And instead of griping, start praising. Amen. Hallelujah. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Nobody looking around. I don't know everybody in here personally, but this is the most important part of the message. If you're here this morning, ask yourself this question, if you can hear my voice, whether it's on the internet now, in the future, or in this building. If today were my last day on planet Earth, where would I go? I know when I answer that question, it's heaven. Some people's answer might be, I don't know where I'd go. But the Bible says you don't have to wonder about that. The Bible says that if you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that when your last day on earth comes, here in this time, you will go be with the Father in heaven. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you can say, I don't know I'd go to heaven, but you can say, I want to go to heaven. There's only two qualifications to get there. Number one is believing in Jesus. Believing that He died and believing that He rose again. If you believe that, you've got the first qualification. The second qualification of going to heaven is asking the Lord into your life. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, I won't embarrass you. I won't have you come forward or stand up or say anything on your own. But if you can say, I do believe in Jesus, I want to go to heaven. I want to receive Him as my Lord and Savior. It doesn't matter if you haven't gone to church. It doesn't matter if you haven't given money. It doesn't matter if you haven't been maybe the best or the most moral person in the world. All that matters is if you call on the name of the Lord. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, is there anybody in this room right now? You can say, I want to receive Jesus. I want to go to heaven. Would you just lift your hand high in the air and then put it right back down? I won't embarrass you. But if you've never received Jesus and you want to, just lift your hand in the air and put it down. And then we'll pray for it. Anybody at all before we close? I don't want to rush this. Anybody at all want to receive Jesus before we close the message? Just lift your hand in the air. Anyone? Father, I don't see any hands in the building, but by chance there's somebody here that's maybe shy and apprehensive to raise their hand. Father, or if there's someone listening now or in the future, and I can't see their hand, obviously, that wants to receive Jesus, Father, I pray they would not pass from this life till they made Jesus their Lord. I pray that in a moment with You, Father, they would cry out Your name and say, Lord Jesus, I believe. I believe You died and rose again. Come into my heart. I pray that You have that moment. It's that simple. It's that easy. God made it simple to get to Him. All you have to do is believe in Him and confess it with your mouth and receive Him. Let's just thank Him one more time before we go. Father, we love You. We praise You. And we magnify You and bless Your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't forget, no Wednesday. We'll see you next Sunday at 10 o'clock. You're dismissed.
Children, remember your promise. enough.